In today's part two video of the Pergamum Eclipse series, we are now going to investigate how the hybrid eclipse is connected to Pergamum, where we are told that is where Satan's throne dwells, in order to discover how it all relates to the rise of the Antichrist. And yet on the flip side, counter to that, the Uranus connection, an 84-year cycle that God uses, will demonstrate that this is pointing to the restoration of Israel, the whole purpose of Daniel's 70th week, when the Antichrist comes on the scene. And to that point, why these two celestial phenomena are tied together. It's an absolutely fascinating pattern that God has outlined for us. And included in this video will be continuation of our world war pattern. The significance of Germany, Turkey, and even King Charles are all related in some shape, form, or fashion to this eclipse. And so with all that being said, welcome back to Supernatural by Design. My name is Jared. And if you enjoy God's celestial signs from a mathematical and scientific perspective as they relate to the end times, then you have come to the right channel. Because one thing that we frequently demonstrate is that God's celestial signs follow patterns. And as we know, Bible prophecy is foretold through patterns. And so it is my hope that you will see God's splendor in the things that he has created as they are timed to world events. In fact, even in this video, we will see how the hybrid eclipse connects all the way back to the year of 1864 and outlining a profound pattern of events. And so if you're new and you like this kind of stuff, definitely consider subscribing. And if you are returning, thank you for your support. But if you could do me a huge favor before we begin this video, if you can hit the like button, share this video, comment on this video, any and all support you all provide, help this channel out, and I greatly appreciate that. And to all those who've supported this channel financially, thank you. I love y'all, and may God's grace and peace be with you. What a wonderful creator we serve, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now without further ado, let's begin part two of our series, the Pergamum Eclipse. And so, beginning with our topic slide for this series, we are outlining the significance of God's celestial sign tied up in this hybrid eclipse, contained within three separate videos. With the first video, World War II 2.0, Signs in the Heavens, as we demonstrated in that video, that the celestial pattern of World War II is repeating right now, and therefore, World War III is on the horizon. Now, that played a setup for today's video, Pergamum and the Uranus Connection, as this will provide a direct link to the Antichrist, which, I would articulate, rises out of war, and why we're seeing the signs of World War II repeating right now. And so with the rise of the Antichrist, this will provide the setup for Video 3, the Esther Prophecy and the Benjamite, as the entire Book of Esther outlines and details a prophetic foreshadowing of the end times and how it all pertains to Israel, but also the Bride of Christ. And so moreover, this hybrid eclipse is the most profound celestial sign in a generation, as God is using this sign to mark this transition from the raptured church to Daniel's 70th week. And so with that being said, if you haven't seen video one, definitely check it out now, because we're going to jump right back into where we left off. But before we do that, we need to break this part two Pergamum connection into three subtopics, as it is rather vast in the details, but very profound when they come together. And so we will have three subtopics: war, Pergamum, and the Uranus connection. And so definitely make sure you stay tuned all the way to the end. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into our first subsection, war. And so, picking up where we left off, here is the last slide from video one, which I'm not going to go back over the details, as I'm assuming that you've already seen that video. As it is suggesting, World War III begins in 2023. And so now, let's condense this information onto this slide and bring in World War I. And let's examine the lunar eclipses from each block. And what makes this fascinating, saints, all three lunar eclipses occur on Shemitah years, and the two on the outside are also a part of our Israeli tetrad, that repeating 18-year eclipse pattern. Isn't that fascinating? And again, we have here all three lunar eclipses occurring 1 year prior to World War. And so we have a celestial pattern match here between all three. But how about the 84-year connection? Well, it's certainly not 84 years between World War I and World War II. But as we'll see later in the video, it is very relevant to our pattern. We'll come back to that here in a little while. How about the 49 plus 1 year pattern? Because as we discovered in the previous video, 50 years prior to the start of World War I landed on a Shemitah year. In fact, the very year Hitler was born. And in the instance now, 2023, 50 years prior to now was 1973, which was also a Shemitah year. In fact, it was a Jubilee year. However, is it the same for World War I? Well, when we go back 50 years, it lands in 1864. And 1864 is way more profound than meets the eye. However, pertaining to our Shemitah year pattern, it actually fails. 1864 is not a Shemitah year. But it was a very profound year for something else. And that is Pergamum, which is located in modern-day Turkey. And so to draw the significance and how it relates to 1864, we need to dive a little bit deeper into this war connection. And so, I do want to recall to your memory from a previous video called Earthquake, World War III, 2023, that in that video, we demonstrated that every time there's an earthquake in Turkey on a Jewish holiday, that those years coincided with World War I, World War II, and because this pattern repeated this year, World War III. And so it begs the question, why is Turkey implicated in this earthquake World War pattern? Hold that thought. In a different video, The German Connection, we saw how Germany was responsible for the start of World War I and World War II. And so it really begs the question, is there a connection between Turkey and Germany? Yes. In fact, if we turn to this slide that we saw from the first video, remember how we saw this celestial sequence of the total lunar eclipse and the eclipse right before World War II, and that this was matching the exact same pattern of 2022 and 2023 with this eclipse pattern and pointing to World War III? We are now going to see how this sequence is expanded. I'm telling you, God's precision is profound. Check this out. If we put a block now around Hitler's rise to power in 1933, and then 6 years later is that sequence lunar solar eclipse pattern marking World War II. If we remove this 84-year text and try an experiment here, after all, God's celestial signs follow patterns. So there should be a pattern here. Let's pose this question. Is there another similar leader 6 years prior to our World War III sequence of celestial events also tied to an eclipse? Well, let's turn to this slide and isolate this six-year reference pattern that God has placed for us. Because, saints, I was astonished. Because just as our reference pattern ties to Germany and God's use of marking birthdays with celestial signs, check this out. And so, turning to this slide, 6 years previous to our hybrid 420 eclipse marking Hitler's birthday, occurred an annular eclipse on 2/26 of 2017 marking the leader of Turkey's birthday. That's right, Erdogan turned 63 on an annular eclipse. Isn't that incredible? God's use of world leader birthdays to celestial signs, outlining the same sequence of celestial events, which means we know that they're tied to identical world events. And in our case, World War III. Now, what's also fascinating, if you notice, Erdogan's birthday was 2/26 of 2017 with his annual eclipse. Turning back to our Germany side, the one that that February eclipse is only 2 days away from the February eclipse when Hitler came to power. 2/24 of 1933, which again, remember, is a part of the same sorrow cycle, 1/29, that builds the pattern for Erdogan. Isn't that incredible how this all syncs together? God is fascinating, absolutely fascinating. His sovereignty is profound. But my main point, and why I wanted to show you this fascinating connection that God has outlined for us, is that there's a connection between Germany and Turkey. But why? As we have Turkish earthquakes and world wars, alongside with Germany being the starter of World War I and World War II. And now this celestial sequence pattern of 6 years apart of world leaders prior to World War. Because now, how this all connects, we're now going to see that 1864 is our anchor point for why Germany and Turkey are connected. And so here's a quick 1 minute CBN video marking the introduction to our next subtopic.
Ancient Pergamon, the center of pagan worship in Asia Minor, once known as the place where Satan dwells. In the first century, it was a thriving city. But after countless wars and natural disasters, the temples of Pergamon lay in ruins.
By the mid-19th century, the once great city of Pergamon was barely a memory. The locals were using the site as a quarry, looting the marble for new buildings. Until 1864, when a German engineer paid a visit.
Karl Humann was shocked by the destruction of the priceless artifacts, so he got permission to excavate the ancient city himself. And what he found was one of the greatest monuments in history, the Altar of Zeus.
Stone by stone, the altar was excavated and brought here to Berlin. And then it was reassembled and placed in its own museum.
So 1864 connects us to Germany, Turkey, and to Pergamum, our Pergamum connection. And so isn't it interesting to see how God has interwoven these two nations through Pergamum? And so now it makes sense. Why Germany instigated World War I and World War II? They literally moved Satan's throne to their capital, which, as you heard in the video, the Altar of Zeus. And I believe thoroughly demonstrates that there is a spiritual war happening in the background. And so now for the second part of this video, the Pergamum connection, we're going to examine Turkey and Germany independently, as what we'll see through Germany and Turkey is tied to the western half and the eastern half of the old Roman Empire, the iron legs of King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Because from a timeline perspective, we are right at the ankles, heading into the feet of the statue and the 10 toes or 10 kings of this final one world government. And Germany and Turkey play a major role in this development. And with the 10 kings points us to the rise of the Antichrist, which will be the setup for our Uranus connection, aka the restoration of Israel, the third part of this video. And so let's begin our discussion on the two countries, Germany and Turkey, and how they're both related to our hybrid eclipse on 420 along with 1864. So let's begin with Germany. In fact, let's begin with King Charles. Because did you know that King Charles is part German? In fact, his dad, Prince Philip, even spoke with a German accent. And to that point, to honor that lineage, King Charles even made a historic address in front of the German Parliament, becoming the first British monarch to do so, and gave a speech in both English and German. And oddly enough, this was his first trip outside of the UK since becoming king. And as you know, King Charles just had his coronation on May the 6th, 15 days after the hybrid eclipse, which also coincided with a lunar eclipse, which is definitely very interesting. But here is something that's even more interesting than that. Coming back to 1864, did you know, Saints, that a hybrid eclipse also occurred that year? And guess what day that was on? May 6th. Isn't that interesting? In fact, it's why I made that thumbnail, the Pergamum double hybrid eclipse. Now that makes sense. Isn't it fascinating that his coronation was marked earlier on this whole Pergamum connection? In fact, we could even call it the Pergamum coronation. Here, let me turn to this slide so we can recap using this logic flow diagram. And starting at the top left, we have our hybrid eclipse, which in the culmination of our first video and the first part of this video, we have seen that there are war patterns that connect us to 1864, or the second stop along this logic flow diagram, as that would be the year that a German engineer would begin to remove the altar of Zeus in order to relocate it to Germany. And through God's perfect timing with celestial events, 1864, in the next block over, occurred a hybrid eclipse on 5-6, marking 159 years later another event marked by a penumbral eclipse on 5-6 of 2023, the coronation of King Charles. And so these two celestial signs that God is using is highlighting this Pergamum coronation. And because King Charles has Germanic roots, we know that Germany is significant, which brings us home to our hybrid eclipse on 4-20, marking a different German leader whose birthday is marked by the hybrid eclipse, Adolf Hitler. And so as you can see, this entire loop is connected to our Germanic theme. But why is that? Well, coming back to King Nebuchadnezzar's statue dream, most scholars would tell you, and I would agree with them, that the iron legs represent the Roman Empire, like what we think of at the time of Jesus' first coming. And we know according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, from Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy, the Holy Spirit gave the prophet Daniel some very unique insight about which people group the Antichrist will rise up out of. As it states, then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince, that's the Antichrist, who is to come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So we know that this future prince is out of the Roman Empire, which is not an ethnicity, by the way, but a cultural group of multiple ethnicities. And moreover, the Antichrist could be any one of the ethnicities out of this cultural group, defined locationally by their empire. But nonetheless, this cultural group we call the Romans. Daniel's prophecy is referencing the Romans, because we know it was the Romans who destroyed the city and the sanctuary in 70 AD. So we definitely know it's the Romans. But wait, Jared, didn't the Roman Empire fall and collapse a long time ago? What does this have to do with Germany? I'm glad you asked, because a fascinating insight that the Holy Spirit pointed out. And coming back to King Nebuchadnezzar's statue, all the metals that represent all the different Gentile empires form one continuous statue, all the way down to the feet and the 10 toes, the 10 kings of the final one world government. And therefore, from a chronological historical perspective, it's one seamless timeline. And so as we know, because the iron represents the Roman Empire with an eastern and western half, the Roman Empire has technically never ceased to exist, taking on different forms and shapes, and has done that all the way throughout its inception, even up until this final one world government. Yes, the eastern and western part of the Roman Empire is still around today. And this is where Germany comes into play with regards to the western half of the Roman Empire. And here's what I mean. You see, the Western Roman Empire, according to modern historians, collapsed around 476 AD. However, collapsed, I would suggest, is not the right word to use. It's a misunderstanding. A better understanding would be that they were taken over. But taken over by whom, you might ask? Ah, the Franks. And the Franks were a Germanic-speaking people that invaded the Western Roman Empire in the 5th century. Isn't that fascinating? Now, to be fair, the Franks were the most recognized of the Germanic-speaking people. There's a bunch of different tribes that made up the various Germanic tribes. But again, the Franks became the most well-known. In fact, that's where France gets their name from. Okay, so why is this important to us? Why is it significant to know about the Germanic tribes that took over the Roman Empire? And how does this relate to King Charles? Well, remember, we saw that there was a German connection. And coming back to our Pergamum connection, we know the year 1864 was a pivotal year in relationship to Germany. And so combining all of that, turn to this slide in order to break open this German connection. It's fascinating. Okay, with that said, check this out. In the year of 800 AD, on Christmas Day, 1225, another historical coronation took place, ushering in the Holy Roman Empire. Not the Roman Empire, but the Holy Roman Empire. And historians from around the globe note Charlemagne's coronation as the start of this empire. And so we have another significant coronation, just like King Charles. In fact, Charlemagne is known as Charles the Great. Isn't that interesting? And this coronation made him the first Holy Roman Emperor. But prior to that, his title was the King of the Franks. And so both Charlemagne and King Charles now share this Germanic tribe connection. Now get this. In 800 AD, the national language was Latin. However, most of the population were Germanic speaking. And when they referred to the Holy Roman Empire, they would use the German word for empire. And so they referred to this time period as the Holy Roman Reich. Where have we heard this Reich connection before? That's right, Nazi Germany. And so now we understand why Hitler called it that, because they were saying it's the third German Empire. In fact, this is how the year 1864 plays a very significant role, from Charlemagne to the Third Reich. And so here is the timeline. The Holy Roman Reich, beginning with the coronation of Charlemagne in 800 AD, would eventually be taken over in 1806 via the Napoleonic Wars. The population at the time, 58 years later, sentiment grew to restoring their former glory. And that was 1864, with a series of unification wars. And 7 years later, the first German Empire, or German Reich as they refer to it as, began in 1871. However, this government would lose in World War I, and so forming a second government in 1918 began the Second German Reich / Empire. So that by the time Hitler came to power in 1933, he changed the former government again, and that's when they refer to it as the Third Reich. And of course, dissolving after their defeat in World War II. But did the Third Reich really dissolve? Because similar to the pattern from the First Reich to the Second to the Third of a change of form of government, is a Fourth Reich on the horizon, ushering in a global government, except this time led by 10 kings and the Antichrist. And since it was Charlemagne's coronation, aka Charles the Great, that began this Reich pattern, then the question becomes, did King Charles' coronation have anything to do with ushering in this Fourth Reich? Well, to address this King Charles Fourth Reich connection, this German connection, I would like to turn your attention to a few videos, a couple of which come from Brother Carlo at the Bible Architecture. In this two-part series, Sleep, Weep, The Nazi Return, Brother Carlo demonstrates that the Nazis didn't dissolve, but that they have revamped themselves into different organizations. And so I'll leave a link to those two videos in the description. And another source, which we're getting ready to watch a portion of now, comes from the YouTube channel, Prophecy Watchers. And in this particular episode featuring Brother Billy Crone, the video title is Introducing Klaus Schwab and the Fourth Reich. And I'll leave a link to this video in the description as well. But here, check out this 3-minute clip real quick.
Then you start tracing the trail and you go, wait a second, all these people are connected with this World Economic Forum. Well, who's in charge of World Economic Forum? What is that and where's that? Oh, Klaus Schwab's the head of the World Economic Forum. Oh, he's the one that created it? Oh, he's saying, wait a second, all these people, they're coming from the same source. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, number one. Number two, go back to the other one and go like, really, they want to modify the planet? They want to genetically modify people? They want to medically twist people's genetics? And when's the last time we saw that on the planet? Oh, Hitler, the eugenics program. And then we'll go, wait a second, Klaus Schwab, German accent, Hitler, eugenics? No, could it be? Could there be a tie there? Forget calling it the Great Reset or the Fourth Industrial Revolution. You need to call it for what it is. It's a repackaged Third Reich. You need to call it for what it is, the Fourth Reich.
And so isn't that interesting? Klaus Schwab is a part of this German connection. In fact, him and King Charles are linked to this Great Reset, as it is a joint venture between the two. In fact, King Charles was the first to mention it at its rollout in June of 2020. And as Brother Billy Crone highlighted, this Great Reset is pointing to this global Fourth Reich. And therefore, I would suggest that the coronation of King Charles III was the precise event ushering in this final one-world government. Just as Charlemagne, Charles the Great, his coronation ushered in the Holy Roman Reich. And again, both of these two men being linked to our hybrid eclipse on 5-6 of 1864, as 1864 is our anchor year. Isn't this all fascinating? How the timeline of world history, God has caused it to be all in sync. No matter the nation, no matter the person, from Charlemagne to King Charles, including our German connection. In fact, in the German connection video, we demonstrated that the Antichrist will be an Edomite, who are descendants of Esau, as there was an Edomite king at Christ's first coming. And therefore, when Christ comes back with the bride, it will be to defeat another Edomite king. And the Edomites, historically, check out that video again, moved to Germany. Now that's interesting, but check this out. In fact, if you recall, in that video, we tracked all the way back to the year of 1228 AD to King Frederick II via the Israeli Tetrad, that 18-year lunar eclipse pattern. In fact, our hybrid eclipse of 420 is the same sorrow cycle that corresponds to King Frederick II. Not to mention, he also carried the title of the King of Germany. And just like Charlemagne, eventually the Holy Roman Emperor. And one of the more fascinating titles, as it pertains to the end times, foreshadow of such, the King of Jerusalem, as he was the only king during the time of the Holy Wars to form a peace covenant with Islam over the land of Jerusalem. And so this German connection runs deep historically, which is why turning back to the Holy Roman Reich. So it's very well possible that King Charles is not on the line of David, as there is some speculation that he believes that, but of the line of Esau, meaning he's an Edomite. Now, that's just my conjecture. But if we were to play around with this theme, think about King Charles' two sons, Prince Harry and Prince William. It's very interesting that Prince Harry gave up his title, and now he's the Sussex. Same as Esau giving up his title as firstborn. Just a conjecture again. However, another unique detail. Isn't it interesting that Harry also has red hair just like Esau? And as a repeating theme, we also saw that King Frederick II had red hair. Charlemagne is believed to have red hair. And then out of that German connection video, the Antichrist depicted in IPETCO 2 is depicted as having red hair as well. And when putting Harry next to this guy, to be honest, they kind of look like the same guy. And here's a very unusual detail. But get this, Harry founded the Invictus Games, a charity for wounded warriors. Definitely a notable cause for sure. But as finding pictures for this point, I came across this one. I think this one speaks 1,000 words with the people in attendance. However, as we zoom in, the name of Harry's games, Invictus, his mantra is, I am, which in my mind should ring alarm bells. A red flag. Because who do we know as I am that I am? Jesus Christ, of course. So is there something more spiritually being pointed at here? As the Antichrist is not just against Christ, but the word Antichrist means replacement of Christ. And so are the Invictus Games pointing to this fake I am? And so Harry is very unique. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist necessarily, but there's some red flags for sure. In fact, another one would be that King Charles' coronation on May 6th was also Prince Harry's son's birthday. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm not saying this is bona fide proof that Prince Harry necessarily plays a role with the rise of the Antichrist, but there are some interesting details that are noteworthy. Now, again, I'm not sure how this all fits, but there is something here. And so Harry is very relevant to King Charles' recent coronation because of his obvious relationship. And I say that because I don't necessarily believe that King Charles is the Antichrist. Nor do I necessarily believe that we can know who the Antichrist is on this side of the rapture. However, playing with that theme of the UK royalty being linked to the Antichrist, it would be my presumption that it's Harry. But it may not be. And I'm just speculating here. Or it could just simply be the fact that King Charles is one of the kings that rule with the Antichrist. That's why we need to pay extra close attention to this German connection in general. And now before we begin our discussion on Turkey, the eastern half of the Roman Empire, let's provide a quick recap, just to make sure we're all on the same page, because I know we've done a lot of information. And so, stepping back to our Pergamum connection slide, we have seen that World War III, World War II, and World War I all follow a similar pattern. And the 50-year connection pattern, beginning from World War I, is our anchor point, locking us into the year of 1864. That's our anchor year. And so, coming to this slide, knowing that 1864 is our anchor year to Pergamum, we have seen a connection from the German side, or the western half of the Roman Empire, as it links to Bible prophecy, and two, our hybrid eclipse. And now, we want to switch sides and talk about Turkey and the implications of 1864 through that perspective. Because I would contend that the Antichrist comes out of the western half of the Roman Empire, and the false Messiah comes out of the eastern half, the Islamic Caliphate. And so with that being said, let's go ahead and discuss Turkey now. Oh, and remembering that both of these legs from our Pergamum connection is a setup for the Uranus pattern that we'll see here at the end, as 1864 plays a profound part in that pattern. Because again, all this is pointing to the restoration and redemption of Israel. And so, moving into our Turkey side of this Pergamum connection. Well, for starters, as we saw earlier in the video, we have a war connection between Hitler and Erdogan. However, another Erdogan and Hitler connection is that Erdogan himself has stated that Hitler's Germany is an example of an effective government, which is certainly an odd statement to make, but maybe not coincidental, after we see how there's a celestial pattern tying these two guys together. Now, I'm certainly not a prophet, but I would suggest in these upcoming Turkish elections, Erdogan wins, because God's celestial patterns pointing to something significant about him, to say the least. But it'll definitely be interesting to watch. Either way, because Turkey, the country, is significant, whoever wins, I believe will help fuel the war to escalate quicker. Why? Because the country of Turkey is significant in the end time Bible prophecy, just in general. For example, all seven letters that Jesus writes in the book of Revelation are churches that are found in Turkey. And interestingly enough, being that this is in the book of Revelation, a book dedicated to end time events, I would suggest that Jesus is calling out Turkey for a very specific reason, as Turkey plays a distinct role in the end times. And to further back up that point, Turkey is one of the countries called out in Ezekiel 38. And so, moreover, Turkey is very significant. Now, I want to approach Turkey from a historical perspective. So let's switch tracks and see how we got to modern-day Turkey. With King Nebuchadnezzar's statue dream, Turkey represents the eastern half of the Roman Empire, which occurred in the 4th century after Constantine moved the capital to modern-day Turkey and set up a new capital named after him, Constantinople. Because after Constantine moved the capital, it would remain that way until 1453. In fact, this period of time, historically, because it lasted so much longer than the western half of the Roman Empire, it actually gets a new name in secular history. We refer to this side of the eastern half as the Byzantine Empire, which again culminated in 1453 after the Ottoman Empire took it over and renamed Constantinople to Istanbul, as we know it today. In fact, May 29th of 1453, So we're coming up to the anniversary, which may be very significant here soon because of the timing of the election, as it would just be one day off. Save that date. But moreover, would remain under the title of the Ottoman Empire until the end of World War I, and since then is under the new name of what we now know as modern-day Turkey, and still very Islamic. In fact, Erdogan, the current president of Turkey, wants to revert Turkey back to its former glory of the Ottoman Empire. But notice, the fall of the Ottoman Empire is tied to World War I, just as our Pergamum connection is, because Turkey is where the Pergamum Temple resides. And so, although a scenic route through history, I wanted to bring us to this exact point, that Turkey is related to World War I and our 49 plus 1 year, 50-year connection to the Pergamum Temple, demonstrating God's sovereignty over this relationship. Isn't that interesting? Because not only do we have Germany and Turkey related to World War I and this Pergamum theme, let's now dive into the details about why God is pointing us to the Pergamum Temple. Because for starters, it's why one of the names of the 420 hybrid eclipse we're dubbing the Antichrist eclipse. As you will see, it stems directly to this Pergamum Temple connection. And in order to do that, let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Because as we discover, when Christ writes the letter to the church in Pergamum, we are told that is where Satan's throne dwells. And as we learned earlier, Satan's throne specifically is the altar of Zeus. And this is going to take us into some Greek mythology. But have no worries, because the Bible already points us to a connection with Greek mythology, as almost to say, hey, study Greek mythology because it's relevant for end-time Bible topics. In fact, let me provide a quick example, and then we'll come back to the Temple of Zeus. But here, check this out. And so, turning to Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, we are told that the fifth angel sounded, and a star fell from heaven, which is analogous of an angel, but anyways, was given a key to the shaft of the abyss. And definitely read this chapter for more details. However, we learn in verse 11 that a different angel that comes up out of the abyss, we are told his name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And then the Apostle John also tells us that the Greek equivalent is Apollyon. And therefore, the Bible tells us, hey, you know how Abaddon? Yeah, that's the same guy as Apollyon. Same guy. And therefore, we know that there's an element of Greek mythology that is true. Or for another example, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the angels that sinned from Genesis chapter 6 were cast into Tartarus. And this is the only time this Greek word is used in the entire Bible. And interestingly enough, Tartarus is a Greek concept. It's not a Hebrew one. And so again, Greek mythology would be useful in understanding what the Apostle Peter is talking about. Now, don't misunderstand me. Of course, it's been wrapped in human tradition. However, Genesis chapter 6 is the origins for Greek mythology, really every mythology around the globe, because it's tied to the Nephilim. Now, that's a whole nother story tied to itself, as you have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. However, I do have two great videos by the late, great Dr. Chuck Missler, Return of the Nephilim, if you want to study on that particular topic. However, my main point is just to emphasize this Greek mythology connection to Apollyon. In fact, he'll be very relevant here in just a second. So, coming back to the altar of Zeus in Pergamum, in order to uncover some details about Zeus, because he's tied to Greek mythology. And so, turning to this slide, because Zeus himself carries the exact same characteristics as Satan, as Zeus is tied to the sky and thunder, just as Satan is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, or the fact that he controls storms in the story of Job. You could also tie in Thor to this character. Same guy, especially with his next attribute, the thunderbolt, just as Jesus points out in Luke chapter 10, when he mentions Satan falling to earth like lightning, or like the thunderbolts that were tied to the Nazi SS. In fact, these lightning thunderbolts is a great segue And the next element tied with Zeus, the eagle. Because historically, all of Israel's enemies have all brandished the eagle as their national symbol. And Germany, of course, would be one of those. Hence the lightning bolts as well. But you also have Rome, Russia, contained another coat of arms. And what about America? Definitely another topic for another day. Nonetheless, that ties Zeus to the eagle. Zeus is also associated with the bull. For example, the golden calf that Israel worshipped after the Exodus, which is also a cross-reference to an Egyptian deity, Apis. In fact, here's a depiction of Apis. Because one thing that you'll find in common across all these ancient cultures and all these ancient religions is that their deities are always tied to serpents. Hence, one of the reasons why the bull associated with Zeus is a horned serpent. Because remember, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the god of this world is Satan. And since we know he's a serpent, according to Revelation, the ancient serpent, there is a reason why in all these pagan cultures, you will always see a serpent in reference. In fact, even in the other bull example, Serranus, who is a Celtic deity, is even depicted holding serpents. Not to mention, he's also tied to the CERN connection, as there is ample evidence to prove will be used to open up the bottomless pit for Apollyon to come on the scene. But nonetheless, throughout history, an element of these symbols, which are tied to Satan, have been used in various ways. Another bull example would be the 2022 Commonwealth Games opening ceremony. Remember that with the big bull, the mechanical bull? These connections are all tied back to Zeus. And just one more symbol that's tied to Zeus that I found absolutely fascinating and had to share, and not listed on the screen, is that Zeus is also associated with oak trees. And a great example that ties in oaks and bulls together has to do with an area known in the Bible as Bashan. Because according to Zechariah chapter 11, a chapter dedicated to end time topics, in fact the only chapter in the entire Bible that we get a physical description of the Antichrist, we find that oaks are associated with Bashan. And according to Psalm 22, King David's prophetic picture of Christ on the cross, in verse 12 he mentions, "Many bulls surround me, strong ones of Bashan encircle me," which indicates to me that Satan or demons were present when Christ was crucified for us. And so, Bashan ties two Greek symbols, oaks and bulls, together, pairing Zeus and Satan, just as we've been seeing throughout this study. And don't forget, we also have the Nephilim king, Og of Bashan, which would be very relevant as well to this topic. And check this out, the biblical location of Bashan would have been Assyria, with the A, Assyria. And in modern times, for the most part, that's Syria today. And fascinatingly enough, the Antichrist, one of his titles is the Assyrian. Not an Assyrian, but the Assyrian. Highlighting that the Antichrist, or the false Messiah, is coming from this region. I'm not settled on it yet, but someone is coming from this region. And if you've been following Assyria in the news today, something big is getting ready to happen. But nonetheless, just wanted to point out the connection between oaks and bulls to Zeus. In fact, on your own time, do a study of oak trees in the Bible. It's very interesting. However, my main point is simply to highlight that when Jesus tells us that Pergamum is where Satan's throne dwells, vis-a-vis the altar of Zeus, as we look at the characteristics of Zeus, it matches the characteristics of Satan. Okay, now, taking what we have just learned, what has been one of the catchphrases for this 420 hybrid eclipse? The Antichrist eclipse, right? Well, did you know, saints, the planet that is associated with Zeus, it's Jupiter. And why is this important for us? Guess what planet is there? Jupiter. But wait a minute. The Antichrist is the seed of the serpent, the son of perdition, the son of Satan. And since Zeus is associated with Jupiter, guess who is one of the sons of Zeus? Apollyon, a.k.a. Apollo. And therefore, this connection between Apollo and Zeus, because of the Pergamum connection, is pointing to the rise of the Antichrist. And similarly to Zeus, Apollo has symbols that he is associated with. For example, a lyre, a laurel wreath, a python, a bow, and arrow. And so, the python should definitely stand out. The bow and arrows should stand out. The lyre, a connection to Apollo and music. We know Satan is connected with music as well. But what about the laurel wreath? Well, a certain organization that I'm sure you're familiar with, the laurel wreath is a part of their logo. And notice again, we have another snake connection as well. And also connected to this, fascinatingly enough, is that Apollo is also associated with deadly plagues, and yet at the same time is also connected with delivering people from those plagues. Seems very reminiscent of a situation in 2020, which I would suggest is a foreshadow of a situation during Daniel's 70th week, where another deadly plague incentivizes people to take the mark of the beast. Very interesting. But what about the celestial object that's tied to Apollo? Well, that's the sun. And so, coming back to our 420 eclipse, by definition, an eclipse is a sun sign. And with Jupiter nearby, just re-emphasizes this connection to the rise of the Antichrist, as seen through Zeus and Apollo. And this is the third instance, a third line of evidence pointing to this theme. Because if you recall, in the Born on an Eclipse video, we used this slide to point out that because of the location of the eclipse, that it matched a Revelation 13:2 connection, the dragon giving his authority to the Antichrist. Or similarly, in Esther chapter 3, verse 1, when the king gives authority to Haman, and Haman is an archetype of the Antichrist for many reasons. But moreover, this connection tying Zeus and Apollyon is reiterating the exact same connection. Isn't that fascinating? God is overlapping these themes to give us a clear indicator that the Antichrist is getting ready to come on the scene. Also, definitely check out that Born on Eclipse video if you haven't seen it yet. I'll leave a link in the description. And so now, closing out our Turkish side of the Pergamum Eclipse, we have seen that Turkey and President Erdogan play a major role in end-time Bible prophecy, as well as the fact as the location of the Pergamum Temple and the altar of Zeus, as is the Greek mythologies that give us the Antichrist title for our 420 hybrid eclipse. In addition, Turkey is the eastern half of the Roman Empire, and Germany, as we've seen, is the western half of the Roman Empire. And these two threads come together because of the altar of Zeus in 1864. As Germany began relocating it out of Turkey and to Berlin. And therefore, the conclusion is that 1864 is our anchor year, starting the ball forward on the rise of the Antichrist and the Ten Kings, the beast system, and that this would come to fruition through a series of wars, which is why, beginning in 1864, 50 years later is World War I. And as we saw in the first video, this pattern is extended to World War II, and now to World War III, as demonstrated by God's celestial signs, Shemitah cycle patterns, and Shemitah years. God is telling us a story in the celestial skies as is paired through historical events. What a wonderful creator we have, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As hopefully this has demonstrated that his creation is supernatural by design. And so now, let's tie in the purpose for the rise of the Antichrist and the beast system after World War III brings them to the top, which can be wonderfully demonstrated through another celestial sign that God has given us, the Uranus connection, as that is point three of this video. And for all intents and purposes, will be re-demonstrated with more evidence in part three of this video series, the Esther prophecy and Mordecai. So let's begin our Uranus connection. And so beginning with our timeline of world wars, we saw in our last video that 84 years was significant between the time of World War II and right now. Now check this out. This is fascinating. God's timing is impeccable. But saints, bringing in our Pergamum connection of 1864, it turns out that 84 years from 1864 is, guess what year? 1948. Isn't that incredible? The exact year Israel would be regathered. Now, if you notice, I have 84 years equals Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. And in quotes, looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So the very fact that 1864 is tied to 84 years to 1948 is profound. But it's about to get more profound than that. Check this out. Let's turn to that passage in the Bible. Now for context, Luke chapter 2 verses 21 through 38 is when Jesus is being presented at the temple as an infant. Now I highly encourage you to go read that portion of scripture, but for all intents and purposes, we're just going to focus on these two verses because it relates the prophetess Anna as a foreshadow of type of a 7-year wedding feast, aka the rapture of the body of Christ. Isn't that profound? Not to mention the redemption of Jerusalem. Because isn't it interesting, in the book of Revelation, it's the new Jerusalem that comes out of heaven. And Uranus in the Greek is Uranus. And every time you see the word heaven in the New Testament or in the Greek text, so Septuagint, Old Testament as well, you have Uranus, that's Uranus. And so this perfectly ties in the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. Now, yes, the new Jerusalem comes out of heaven after the millennial reign of Christ. We'll get to that here in a second. However, one thing worth mentioning is that 84 years is 7 times 12. We have the 7 literally in the text. God is literally highlighting a division property here of mathematics, as these are the only two numbers associated with Anna. And therefore, because 7 evenly divides the only other number within the text of 84, we know that 12 is significant. And being that she's looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem has 12 gates, pointing us to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'm not sure if you noticed, but it is interesting. It doesn't mention her death. And because she's tied to a 7-year marriage, is the Holy Spirit hinting at those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air? So it's absolutely fascinating that this Luke chapter 2 passage is not only hinting at the rapture, but the redemption of Jerusalem being related to 84 years. Isn't that incredible? Now, I want to pivot real quick and provide a point of clarification about the meaning of the Uranus connection. Is that these celestial signs can carry different meanings at the same time. So, in one instance, yes, this is representing the new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. But in another instance, at the same time, it's also pointing to nuclear war, as uranium is named after Uranus, which is a nuclear material used in nuclear bombs. And I believe the scripture teaches that the rapture, the 7-year wedding feast, the timing of it is tied to nuclear war, sudden destruction. And so the characteristics of Uranus is multifaceted here. But if you want more details about this war connection to the rapture, check out the total lunar eclipse video, as well as the war rapture and the war rapture and labor video. Those three videos will give you a good backdrop and biblical argument. And so let's discover the heaven connection to our Uranus connection as it relates to the redemption of Jerusalem. Because remember, according to Isaiah 44 verse 6, this is what the Lord says: He who is King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of armies, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me. Jesus has a mission to redeem Israel. Always remember that. And related to that would be the redemption of Jerusalem. And so this 84-year pattern is very much related to this. Because it turns out, saints, that just as 84 years from 1948 backwards is 1864, our Pergamum connection, 84 years in front of 1948 is 2032. And if you've been subscribed to this channel for the last 6 or 7 months, your jaw just dropped. But if you're new, let me explain. 6 to 7 months ago, this video came out called The Celestial Countdown to Christ's Thousand-Year Reign, in the first video to the series, The Esther Rapture, which we outlined all the various celestial patterns that God has been using to mark World War I, World War II, Israel being regathered, Jerusalem being recaptured, the crisscross solar eclipse pattern over America, the millennial tetrad pattern here in yellow, even including our Antichrist eclipse, as uniquely enough, that marked a halfway point between our millennial tetrad. That's why you have the half wave MT. Now, I want to switch to a new created slide so you can see the significance of this millennial tetrad connection. Because what we have here, saints, God is doing the exact same pattern as he did marking the regathering of Israel and the regathering of Jerusalem, as those lunar eclipses are 18 years apart and a part of the same sorrow cycle. The exact same thing just began in 2014. And 18 years later, 2032 is that corresponding pair. And 2015, 2033 is its corresponding pair. And that the millennial tetrad, its ending year of 2032 and 2033, is when Christ's millennial kingdom will be set up and running. And the other notable pattern between all 16 total lunar eclipses is that they all land on Jewish feast days. That is profound, saints. Not to mention, coming back to our celestial countdown slide, our hybrid eclipse marks the exact middle, 9 years and 5 days to the left, and 9 years and 5 days to the right. It's the exact middle point of this millennial tetrad. That's why it's so significant. And so, now, when coming back to our Uranus connection, 84 years from 1948 is 2032. Saints, the celestial lineup is matching. It's agreeing with this Uranus connection. That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. And to that point, I know that there is a popular video going around about 2030 as being the year that Christ returns, which would suggest that Daniel's 70th week starts this year. However, I would suggest something different. It's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Arguably, rapture happens this year. We wouldn't really know who was right anyways. But we can definitely work that out in heaven. No problems with that. I'm ready to get out of here. And to finally be home with Jesus. My goodness, what a wonderful day that will be. Praise God. But anyways, coming back to the nuances of this celestial pattern. So again, I would articulate that Daniel's 70th week begins in 2025. Which, by the way, this is not the main reason why I articulate that. For example, turning to this side, it turns out, saints, that our hybrid eclipse of 420 is the first solar eclipse of 4 solar eclipses in a row, 2 this year and 2 next year, where all 4 mark the exact middle of the millennial tetrad. Notably, next year, the 4/8 solar eclipse, the last leg of the crisscross pattern, not only is that Nisan 1, but it too marks the exact middle of the 2015 and 2033 Passover tetrad connection. Okay, now follow me to this slide. And I'll go into more depth on this slide in the next video, part 3 of this video series. However, those 4 solar eclipses that mark 2023 and 2024 is highlighting this gap between 2022 and 2025. Necessary for the rapture, as the rapture is tied to sudden destruction, and yet we know Daniel's 70th week is tied to a peace covenant, and so there's a gap of time. And mentioned in previous videos, 2022 begins the half-wave Shemitah pattern, completing the other half-wave Shemitah pattern from 1948 to 1952. Now, that's using the current Hebrew year. However, the Essenes, a notable Jewish sect, that predicted a lot of notable details about Jesus' first coming also have predictions about a second coming, and they mention 2025 as being the start of Daniel's 70th week, with Christ returning in 2032. And therefore, 7 years plus that gets us to the millennial tetrad, just as our Uranus connection does. And fascinatingly enough, the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week, if it begins in 2025, 2029, the midpoint, is marked with four partial solar eclipses within the same year. And the last time we had four partial lunar eclipses in a row, that was 2020. If the logic follows, whenever you have these four in a row in a single year, it's bad news. And of course, we know the midpoint of Daniel's 70th week is bad news. However, tying back in our millennial temple connection of 2032, when Christ returns, when Israel recognizes him as the Messiah, which is the only necessary condition that has to be fulfilled in order for that to happen, during Christ's millennial reign, he sets up and restores Jerusalem. Beginning 1,000 years, which at the end of that 1,000 years is when he redeems Jerusalem by bringing a new Jerusalem out of Uranus, Uranus, heaven, our Uranus connection. Isn't that incredible? And one other fascinating connection with Uranus as it pertains to the rise of the Antichrist, which occurs during Daniel's 70th week. Remember how we discovered that Zeus is connected to the bull? Guess what constellation Uranus traverses through? Well, let's check out this video I made from Stellarium. So as you can see, right now Uranus is in Aries. If I go up 1 year, it moves to Taurus, the bull. Now if I go back one day, it's in Aries. So the technical start date it goes into Taurus is 5/23 of 2024. And there's a Jupiter and Venus conjunction that day. That is fascinating. Now check this out. As we go an increment by 1 year, it goes all the way through the bull. And finally exits in 2033. Isn't that incredible? 2034, it's in Gemini. 2033 is the last year it's in Taurus. Isn't that incredible? Considering what we just saw with the millennial tetrad pattern. Another reason why I would argue that 2025 is the start of Daniel's 70th week, as seen through this Uranus pattern through the bull, our Zeus and Apollyon connection, with 2032 and 2033 being the years that the millennial temple is set up, which means that Jesus would have to come a little bit prior to that. And so, this Uranus connection that ties this 84-year fascinating pattern that God has etched in celestial patterns, Shemitah cycles, Shemitah years, is incredible. Because not only do we have a single portion of scripture that ties a 7-year marriage relationship, a foreshadow of the rapture, but also the redemption of Jerusalem. Again, the two key components that the end times is really all about: the rapture of the body of Christ prior to the start of Daniel's 70th week, which out of that comes the restoration of Jerusalem and the redemption of the people of Israel once the new Jerusalem out of heaven comes. I don't know about you all, beloved, but I'm excited because God's celestial signs are phenomenal. He has created them with intention, with purpose, with rhyme and reason. What an incredible wise God we serve, who is all powerful in all things. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And lastly, saints, because I can have error, I ask that you take all these things that you've seen in this video before the Lord first. After all, according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent. And so let it be our challenge to discern what is excellent through His Holy Spirit. And finally, A verse I want to leave you with is John 14:16, when Jesus tells us, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever." That's a long time. We can't lose our salvation, saints. Forever is a long time. No wonder the Apostle Paul tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so let's finish strong, beloved, until the day of our redemption. And with that said, I love y'all. Jesus loves y'all. He's coming soon. And I look forward to meeting you all in the air, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless. Maranatha, King Jesus, the King of Israel. Amen.